May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 214. Dear Lord, remember me, a sinner weak and vile, full of impiety and fraught with sin and guile. I cannot hope but in thy blood. Remember me, O Lord, for good. Hymn 214.
Thank you. We will read from God's holy word, from the first book of Samuel, chapter 7. The first book of Samuel and chapter 7. And the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kiriath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath, and the coasts thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. And there he judged Israel. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and most gracious God. We will pray now for thine especial help as we come before thee on this thy day, that thou hast grant us of thy Spirit, grant us of thy grace. O Lord, do be with us, do come according to thy promise, that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there thou art in the midst. O Lord, do indeed speak unto us with that word of power, that word of love, that word of wisdom, that word of guidance, that word of reproof. For thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. O Lord, do then shine forth in our hearts and guide us, we pray. Grant us that light of life. And may the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to grant us thy favour as we meet around thy word. Do, O Lord, grant us each ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, an understanding heart. May we be humbled before thee. And, O Lord, do take away the distracting thoughts, we pray, the tempting thoughts, the foolish thoughts. And, O Lord, that we may give that right attention unto thee, that we may, as it were, be found sitting at thy feet, O Lord Jesus Christ, and hearing thy word. That we must confess, so often we're cumbered about with much serving, distracted. Those things are done not in that right order. But, O Lord, thy word says, and O Lord, that thou hast granted us that grace that we may so do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And, O Lord, we would pray for thy blessing upon the church and congregation here, and the brethren here, and the children, the young people, and our brethren, the deacons here, and their responsibility. O Lord, we do pray for thy rich blessing to rest upon them, and thy rich favour to rest upon them. And, O Lord, we do thank thee for thy goodness. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to grant thy further blessing, that building up in the most holy faith, that setting at liberty of the captives, that encouraging of those that are cast down, that comforting consolation to be given, where there is not that concern over eternal things. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to grant it. There may be that true repentance and coming unto thee in that heartfelt prayer. O Lord, where there are those that are waiting upon thee, that thou hast appear and speak those precious words, Son or daughter, thy sins are all forgiven thee. To, O Lord, grant thy blessing upon thy servants as they come here in preaching thy word. O Lord, we do pray that the testimony and witness of this place may shine forth in this neighbourhood, and indeed thou mightest be pleased that there be those in this neighbourhood touched by thy gracious hand, might come to seek thee as thou art revealed in thy holy word. And, O Lord, how we do need thy mercy upon us in the churches. O Lord, thy great grace to be made manifest. O Lord, to deliver us, we do pray. Turn us again, we pray. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to grant that true revival, that newness of life, through thy the resurrection power, in thy precious name, O Lord Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, we do pray for thy blessing upon thy servants that preach, even this day. You need pray for my own pastor at home and Brother Jonathan in the ministry where he is labouring. Each of thy servants that are labouring. And, O Lord, thou mightest be pleased to raise others up. Thou who art the Lord of the harvest. That thou hast raised up ministers, raise up pastors in the churches. Raise up those who would serve thee. O Lord, we do pray that thou hast raised up mothers in Israel. And, O Lord, we would beg in our own nation at this time that thou wouldst appear for us. O Lord, we would thank thee that we have not been delivered up to the confusion and utter judgment that our sins deserve. And, O Lord, we would pray that thou mightest be pleased to appear for us at this critical time. O Lord, indeed, that thou wouldst raise up those in our new parliament that might fear thy name. O Lord, we do thank thee that we have those tokens and evidences that there are some. Indeed, thou hast been touching the hearts of some. And, O Lord, we do thank thee. And, O Lord, we do pray that there may be many more that might be brought to fear thy name in government and in parliament. O Lord, it is impossible with man, but, O Lord, it is all things are possible with thee. And, O Lord, there may be that turning again unto thee in the nation, that outpouring of the Spirit. O Lord, the nation, it appears, has gone after vanity and foolishness and all manner of worldliness and vice and evil. But, O Lord, nothing is impossible with thee. We do plead in the precious name of Jesus that thou mightest be pleased to grant a revival again in our land. Look in mercy, we pray. We can only plead the precious name of Jesus. We have nothing of ourselves to bring. But, O Lord, our hope is in thee. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to grant thy blessing upon thy word as it goes forth. We bless the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society in serving thee and those who are translating thy word, those who are reviewing, checking, publishing, distributing, preaching. O Lord, that there may be thy rich blessing upon that labour that thou would speak. And there are many in other lands who are longing and thirsting that they may receive the word, who at present have not the scriptures, but long and thirst that they may receive them, or have only part of the scriptures, or that which is translated in such a corrupt manner, that they long and thirst for the pure word. O Lord, we do pray that their prayers may be answered, that way may be made for thy word to go forth, and thy blessing by the power of the Spirit to attend the word. May be with the orphans, the fatherless. O Lord, to supply their need. That, O Lord, that thou wouldst be a father as thou hast promised unto the fatherless. To comfort them, to supply their every need. And, O Lord, we would pray for those in lands of persecution. That, O Lord, thou wouldst watch over and deliver thy one true church. Those that are in prison at this time, for the testimony of thy name, that thou wouldst be with them to help them and their families. Those in the midst of war or conflict or poverty or disease, to supply their need and to help them. And as we hear, we would thank thee for the many providential favours thou hast given us. We are so undeserving of it. But, O Lord, do deliver us from unthankfulness, from setting our heart upon earthly things. That, O Lord, that we may know the riches in Christ Jesus. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst give us now that attention to thy word. We thank thee that we have thy word before us faithfully translated, that we may each have a copy of thy word, that we may read it, but, O Lord, do grant that we may be in the Spirit. O thou Holy Spirit of truth, come down. Do indeed reveal those divine, those holy, those blessed things, and search as we pray, and guide us and lead us. And help us now as we come to the ministry of thy word. Do grant me that help in speaking. But, O Lord, do thou speak by the Spirit, that we may have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, that we might not just be hearers only, but doers of thy word, to thine honour and glory. Do be with any that are sick. Do be with any that are unable to come out to thy house. Or those that are in pain or in trouble. Grant, O Lord, thy comfort and thy help. And, O Lord, may the word be truly blessed, we pray. We would ask now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 954. Save me, O God, my spirit cries, and on thy faithful word relies. Save me from sin, my desperate foe, that fills my soul with every woe. Hymn 954.
Thank you.
help us in turning to his holy word. And I direct you particularly to the chapter that we have read, 1 Samuel chapter 7. And particularly verse 12, although I do feel there's a great blessing throughout this chapter that we'd seek to the Lord helping bring forth. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, which means a stone of help. Called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." It is a great mercy to be able to look back. As we come to the end of another year of our lives, and to see the Lord's goodness. And to, as it were, raise our Ebenezer, that monument, a testimony, a witness that the Lord is gracious, the Lord is faithful, the Lord is one who answers, who hears and answers prayer. The Lord who has not left us, has not judged us as our sins deserve, but we can say that the Lord has had mercy upon us. How great indeed that his grace. And shall we not raise that Ebenezer, as it were, that testimony that hitherto hath the Lord helped me, helped us? Is it not a token, not an evidence that God, who is faithful, as the poet said concerning that the rays are Ebenezer, as it were, each sweep Ebenezer, a token that the Lord will help us all our journey through. He has helped us hitherto, will help us all our journey through. Is not the Lord gracious? Is not the Lord good? And the Lord said, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." As the Lord has helped us through, will he not? Is he not the same Lord? Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Is that not a great comfort? Is that not a great mercy that the Lord is the same? As we look back and see the Lord's goodness and faithfulness to us, that the Lord will help us through. Help us through that unknown path. But let us come particularly to the circumstances around this raising of the stone at Ebenezer by Samuel the prophet. For there is much teaching here that I trust which is profitable to our souls. The place Ebenezer, this is not the first place in the scripture the word that Ebenezer is mentioned. It is, we find it in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 1. "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army of the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." As we read on into that chapter, we see that not only was there that first defeat at Ebenezer, when 4,000 were slain, but there's that far more disastrous defeat, destruction of the army, the capturing of the ark, the slaying of the sons of Eli, the judgment of God being poured forth. In chapter 5, we read, "And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod." Ebenezer was the very place where the ark of the covenant was taken by the Philistines. They took it into the house of Dagon, their god. And as we know, as we read on in that account in chapters 5 and 6, we see how God's hand was upon the Philistines. Now we come to chapter 7. The Philistines had put the ark upon that ox cart, and it had gone that way back to the land of the Israelites. In chapter 7, "And the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kiriath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." This place, Ebenezer, some 20 or so years before, was a place of defeat. A place twice where the army of Israel had been defeated, thousands slaughtered. Moreover, the Ark of the Covenant taken. But here in this chapter we see of the Lord's grace, the Lord's deliverance. And it has struck me in meditating upon this in the past few weeks, those times when places we've been to, and as it were, we've known those defeats. We've sinned. We've failed. We've come to those places of great trouble or disappointment or grief. And here they were again. We has come before us that same place again that we must come to. And surely these Israelites were gathered together at Mizpah. Were remembered the tragic scenes of some 20 years before. Yet the Lord called them to come back to that place. But we see an altogether different spirit, a humbled spirit, a repentant spirit. As if we view how they first came out to Ebenezer some 20 years before. There was that grievous hypocrisy in the midst, in the very tabernacle. Those wicked sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. And then concerning the people, And they ask that question, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? It is good to ask the question why these things have befallen. To search ourselves, but was there any repentance here? Was there any godly sorrow here? He said, let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Almost as it were, a superstition. It may save us. There's no repentance. How true that is of so much religion. As we look around, I can testify that I was in it myself in my younger days. Of people with crosses and crucifixes and bowing before this and that. Maybe it will save us. Some even with the Bible, treating it as some, as it were, superstitious object to drive away the evil spirits. Somehow if we have the Bible there, or we have it in our bookcase, it'll somehow do us good. But let us then consider rather how it was when Samuel called the people to Mizpah and Ebenezer. There we see a most crucial difference from that which is but superstition. And we see there that reality. And then as we have in our text, that raising up of that testimony, that the Lord has been gracious, the Lord has been good. But as we see in chapter 7, the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. There was the period, the time was long. And it brought that first stirrings of that lamenting, that sorrowing. Indeed, the actions of the Israelites had not been necessarily good. We read concerning the men of Beth Shemesh, they'd looked inside the ark of the Lord and were struck down. The men of Kiriath Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord, sanctified by man. And we see the end of that, one of those forebears who continued that keeping of the ark was Uzzah. And how did they move it to Jerusalem, following what the Philistines had done with the ox cart? And the Lord struck them. The Lord's judgment broke forth. But after the time was long, there was that lamenting, that sorrowing after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, now we have the prophet of the Lord speaking. The Lord raised up his servant Samuel, and now there is the word of the Lord. If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtoreth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Although there was that lamenting, there was a sorrowing that the Lord had indeed smitten Israel, that the Ark of the Covenant was separated from the tabernacle. The time was long. But there was yet that hypocrisy. were still the Baalim and Ashtaroth. Baal means the word for Lord, but a false Lord. Baalim, the plural, many of them. Ashtaroth, that vile goddess. They still had those things. They were still serving them. If the Lord has put in your heart a sorrowing concern about your sins, and the Lord is now speaking, coming under the sound of his word and the ministry, are there yet those Baalim and Ashtaroth that are still being served? The word is most clear here. Put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. And prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. There should be that serving of the Lord with the whole heart. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Here we have a true message. The Lord looketh upon the heart. There's that sorrowing. Indeed, it is of the Lord's mercies that there is a sorrowing, but yet may we go further. There be that putting out of the Baalim and the Ashtaroth. Those idols, those things that are worshipped. Those things that are not of Christ. They're not honouring and glorying and unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Those false gods, those pleasures that are of the flesh, those ambitions that are not serving or honouring unto God. Whatever it may be, that which is taking the that you are bowing down to, but which is not the Lord. And serve him only. The Lord is a jealous God. That jealousy is a holy jealousy. We, the children of Israel, did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. And truly God is faithful. And they gather together to Mizpah. That word Mizpah means a watchtower or a lookout. Drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. There was that public confession of sin. That's true sorrowing over sin. The fasting, the pouring out of the water, as it were, like water that is spilt, that's poured forth, that can't be gathered again. Those things that we have done that we cannot undo. It's like if we pour water out on the ground, we cannot gather it up again. It is spilt. Those things in our lives, things that we've said or things that we've not said, things we've done or we've not done. Indeed, even those things that we have thought, but especially those things that have been done in our lives, we can't undo them. So often, there may be some things, yes, we can make amends, but there are often those things that we simply cannot. Even if we desire long to put right, we cannot. As it were, like water that's spilt upon the ground. And here was that public confession. There was water poured forth, spilt out, that can't be gathered again. Can we see how graciously the Lord heard? How gracious the Lord is to receive those who have nothing of themselves but sin. And that which is a blot, not a commendation. And we see here the place that we must come to, we must be brought to, led to by the Spirit, where we may receive the blessing. It's most important that we come to the right place. It's not just to come to a chapel and sit on a pew, but in the heart. To come to the right place. In a strange way, and now having to do much more travelling by train, I came here by train yesterday. And one thing struck me recently, and perhaps younger friends and children will relate to this. If you want to catch a train, you have to go to the train station. You have to be in the right place. You can wait out on the road out there in the middle of Swaversey for a train and no train will come. Right, wait there for years, decades. You're in the wrong place. And I thought about this in a spiritual sense. How needful are we be in the right place? And here we have at Mizpah Ebenezer, they come to the right place. That place of sorrowing after their sins. And not just a sorrowing outwardly. But there's that true sorrow, that true effect, that true repentance. And that confession, we've sinned against the Lord, is against thee, and against thee only have we sinned and done this evil in thy sight, said David. Sin, it's transgression of the law, God's law. How needful it is we should come to that point that we know that it's against God. David had done that which was grievously evil. But above all, he saw that he had done it against God, and a good God. It was that genuine sorrow. For the Lord said to this man, while I look, he that is poor and of contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. There indeed we've come to the right place. As we shall come on further into this chapter, we see we have the sacrifice. It's Christ, the Lamb of God. Indeed, that right place to receive of mercy is the feet of Jesus. There we come to the right place, the right person, the friend of sinners. How gracious and how merciful he is. Those who came presumptuously to Jesus, they went empty away. But those who came humbly came to the feet of Jesus. Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. There was the woman that had the issue of blood. And she stooped. She must have stooped because the hem is at the bottom, not at the top of a garment. But she stooped and touched the hem of his garment, as it were, the finished touches. It struck me with my wife once when we were first married and she was making a dress. I'd been making it for some time and I said to her, is it nearly finished now? And she said, I've just got to put the hem on it. That woman, she touched the hem of his garment, the finished work, that which is absolutely complete, and stooped and touched. Also, it's also referred to as the border of his garment. Well, he could not come and touch the border of Mount Sinai under the law, utterly condemned to death there, but that woman who was unclean under the law couldn't come to the temple according to the law, could not come to a synagogue or a Pharisee or any such, but she could come to Jesus on the grounds of mercy and by faith, touched the hem of his garment and was made perfectly whole, trusting in his righteousness. She'd come to the right place. She'd had to wait many years. There'd be many disappointments. There'd been many worldly wise men who had, and she paid much money to. But at length, she was brought, she was led by the Spirit, taught that it was Jesus she must come to. And she was made perfectly whole. That word perfectly whole means save. It's the same word. It's translated, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That perfect healing, it wasn't just that she may be healthy and wealthy in this life, but that power, that healing in the body was that testimony recorded in the scripture that surely, truly this is the Son of God. But that perfect wholeness, it was in her soul. That healing, it showed forth the kindness and compassion of our Lord, but above all testified that he was the one who should come, the Son of God, the one who has all authority, all power to forgive sin. As sin is transgression against God's law, only one who is truly God can forgive sin. Yet he is truly God-man, God manifest in the flesh. Another strange thing happened to me in travelling only 2 weeks ago to preach at Swindon by train. And when I was travelling for the evening service, I came to the station. And the train was short, as it were, of not very many carriages, and the train was full. And I physically couldn't get on the train. Some people got on the train. But I was left there and was told you'll have to wait for the next train. Thankfully, I knew there was another train in about 10 minutes' time. So I was not late for the service. But as I was walking up from the station to Swindon Chapel, it struck me very forcefully that although there wasn't room for me on that train, it's not like that at the feet of Jesus. There's room there. It's not like that with heaven. It's not like those some who said, well, there's only 144,000 can be saved. And then the size of their organisation exceeds that number. Then what? Not like that. Those mansions that the Lord has prepared, that number that no man can number, there's room for everyone whom the Lord, for whom the Lord has laid down his precious life, for everyone whom the Lord draws by his irresistible grace, everyone who is truly seeking him with the whole heart. That is a mark of that work of grace. And I, rather than being sort of troubled in my mind about almost being late for service, felt that sweetness in thinking, and yet there is room. It's often the case in worldly things, people haven't got room all the time. We're limited, we're finite creatures, sinful. But with our Lord, as it were, there is always room. For everyone that comes seeking the name of Jesus with a whole heart. Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yet there is room. Well, most strikingly, the second hymn at Swindon was exactly on that text. Just before I was about to preach, yet there is room. The deacon knew nothing about the circumstances when he chose that hymn, but the Lord did. It was truly an encouragement, a token for good. But yet there is room. Then we come to the right place. We come to the feet of Jesus. Just because somebody else has been blessed doesn't mean to say that, or more than one or two or 10 or 3,000 or whatever the number is. Yet there is room. It's not like the train at Chippenham Station where it was full and no more could get on and some were left behind. It's not like that. The throne of grace. Where Jesus is truly God. There is no limitation, as it were, in any respect concerning God. He has all power, mighty to save. Compassion knows no bounds. We see that the Philistines, they heard that the children of Israel were gathered together. A type, the Philistines were a type of the enemy of the church. Israel, a type of the true Israel of God. Every true believer, Philistines, a type indeed of the enemies of God and godliness. And when here Israel was gathered together in repentance, sorrowing, seeking the Lord, there was that opposition. The children of Israel heard it, they were afraid. I can assure you that if you're seeking the Lord in mercy, to turn away from past ways of idolatry or hypocrisy, whatever that may be, there'll be opposition. The devil is not happy to see one who is repenting, one who is seeking Jesus. And we may indeed even be filled with fear at those things that are trials, afflictions, threatenings. There'll be disturbances in our mind. Or it may be some other circumstance. I remember when I was a student at Southampton and the Lord had brought me to saving knowledge. And I was becoming exercised about, as it were, raising that Ebenezer, a testimony of his goodness in going before the church. What a storm of opposition suddenly met from almost all quarters. It's almost as if the devil would throw his agents through everything and more. To fill with dismay, to disturb, to terrify. It seemed almost everywhere I looked there was trouble, but the Lord very graciously gave that grace to see that who it was stirring up this trouble and why. I must yet press forward. There's no armour for the back, wrote Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. The children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." We think of Moses in the wilderness when the Amalekites came out. And there, Moses was there, stood praying. And whenever his arms lowered through weariness, then the Amalekites had prevailed on the battlefield. And when he raised his arms, then the Israelites, led by Joshua, prevailed on the battlefield. And Aaron and Hur then held up Moses' arms that were weary. And he sat upon a stone. His arms were steady until the breaking of day, and that battle was won by the Lord's gracious hand through his servant Joshua. And here the Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." What a change now. It's not it may, but that he will. There, as it were, is a difference between superstition and that looking by faith unto the Lord, God of Israel, that he will save. But there's not a presumption, not a false confidence, but humbly looking unto the Lord in answer to prayer that he will save. Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. This speaks of Christ, the Lamb of God, and that sacrifice for sin. That sacrifice which was for sin was particularly that whole offering. Entirely consumed. Thinking of our Lord Jesus Christ and his sufferings, both body and soul. My soul is sorrowful even unto death. Thou should offer soul a sacrifice for sin. That agony of his body upon the cross, bearing the sins of his one true church, bearing the punishment due to those sins in his sacred humanity, being in an agony. That sacrifice that makes a reconciliation, an atonement, that pays that penalty due unto us, that we should go free. Not only free, but be clothed in his righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ wrought out through his obedience unto the law. And not only that, but he rose again, that we may rise in newness of life. There be that newness of life. That newness of life in our souls. That hope. That earnest of the Spirit. That token, that sign. And that which is procured through our Lord's death and resurrection. Intercession. That we should be with him, which is far better, to be with him eternally. Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, it's that very moment, as the Philistines considered that they were about to smite Israel for the third time here, at Ebenezer. Because the enemies of our Lord, they came to mock him upon the cross. And the judgment in those terrible things done unto our Lord that night. How they thought they'd gained the victory over this Jesus of Nazareth, who they hated. And filled with spite, sarcasm, mockery. But yet by the resurrection from the dead, the third day, we have that in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15 concerning the resurrection. And the conclusion of that chapter is very striking. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Even if those hosts of Philistines should come against us, yet in Christ there is the victory, there is the triumph, there is the deliverance. But that very moment that the offering was being made, there were the Philistines coming. And we see the Lord. It wasn't the hand of man. It was the hand of the Lord. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. There's something very striking in studying this verse, I found. That in the original where it says, but the Lord thundered, that was, as it were, a roar of great, as it were, vehemence, great thunder. As it were, a mighty lion. The Lord shall roar out of Zion, out of Jerusalem. But the second word, a great thunder, the word thunder there, it's a, from looking at an analytical concordance, it's a different word in the Hebrew. Similar meaning, but there's a subtle difference which cannot quite be so easily expressed in single words in English. But it's literally a voice. It's often translated elsewhere in the Bible, a voice. So where there's that great thunder, that roar, but there's a voice. The Lord spake. We have something similar, that shed some light upon this in John chapter 12. When the Lord said, now is my soul troubled, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I in unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. There was that voice, that thunder. How solemn it is that the word, which is the word of life to those who are in Christ Jesus, is that word of destruction and overthrow and confusion for those who are his enemies. We have again in 2 Peter chapter 3, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. There was that word that on the first day of creation, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Yet there will be that word shall come, and this world shall come to an end. That last trump or trumpet call. And those who are the Lord's shall be delivered. Shall sing hallelujah, praise the Lord, when the Lord comes in his glory. But those who are the enemies of God, who die unrepentant. In their hearts, caring not about these things, hating God and godliness, they shall be slain with the sword that goeth forth from Christ's mouth. That title, the Word of God. But to the redeemed of the Lord is deliverance, there's victory. The Lord thundered with a great thunder, a great voice. On that day upon the Philistines, Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That testimony that the Lord has wrought the victory. And truly, if the Lord has wrought that victory in our hearts, our lives, Surely we must raise that Ebenezer to testify, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The Lord has been very gracious unto us, to me, to deliver out of the hand of the Philistines, out of the hand of Satan, to deliver from my sins, which are scarlet. We see the grace of God here. The Israelites themselves, they did nothing to deserve. Their sins, like ours, are scarlet. There was a hypocrisy in the midst. There were those defeats, judgments of God upon them. But yet there was that, first there was that lamenting after the Lord. And the Lord sent forth his servant to declare there must be that seeking after him with the whole heart. That putting away of those idols, those false gods. There was that coming in repentance before the Lord. There was that sacrifice. The shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is set forth with the blood of that lamb, the sucking lamb. Pure, holy, undefiled, harmless, holy child Jesus, with his one sacrifice for sin. There is the defeat of the enemy. All those things that are against us, those accusations under the law, which, yes, true, we're verily guilty, but all satisfied for our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's risen again. He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us now. Is there not that encouragement that he who is the same yesterday, today and forever, forever interceding for us. He ever liveth, make intercession. Because I live, ye shall live also. May we indeed show forth his praise, so sacrifices of thanks of praise. That testimony, that witness of his goodness and mercy. Them that honour me, I will honour. May we so do to his honour and glory, and raise our Ebenezer. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £650, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Sadler will address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Hadley will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Richard Field will, God willing, preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. The collections today are for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. And just a little reminder, our friends at Oakington hope to hold their New Year prayer meeting on Wednesday. Let us close with hymn 916. Oft as sins my soul assail thee, turn thy eyes to Jesus' blood. Nothing short of this can heal thee. Seal thy peace, or do thee good. Seek no healing, but from Gilead's sovereign balm. Hymn 916.
Sins my soul assail.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now, evermore. Amen.